Lord. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Good to have each one of you here today. Praise the Lord. Get everybody filled with the Holy Spirit and everybody healed and everything's good. All right, okay. Cheryl's got some testimonies she wants to read. I'm going to let her talk about these. I love listening to what God does, don't you? I just love to hear these. That's why I have her read these, because I think y'all like them as much as I do.
Okay, this man from Maryland wrote us, and he said, blood pressure taken before prayer, his left arm, it was 184 over 80. The next day, after he called the ministry center and had prayer, the left arm is 117 over 70. Yeah. Rick Tomko.
Blood pressure before prayer and after prayer. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Okay. I wait with great anticipation to go to your healing school every month. I've learned a lot and continue to learn and put into practice everything I learn. I am so thankful for your ministry. I was healed from depression after listening to one of your DVDs, Testimonies of Miraculous Healings, which is back there on the glass table over by the nursery.
Wow.
I stopped the medications I'd been taking for 31 years.
Wow.
And threw away all the supply I had. I canceled my next appointment with the doctor, and I have been completely healed. Praise the Lord.
Wow. Amen. You notice they quit going to the doctor and they threw away their medicine. That's a good sign they believe Jesus had done what he said he would do.
And that's Yatha Adelstein. Adelstein.
Wow.
Okay. This one's really small. Okay. All right. Okay, she had written wanting some things, which I sent back to her, and then on the very bottom she put, I am always watching your videos, and I got healed from hypothyroidism and now back pain. Praise my Lord, for he is my Lord and Savior. So she needed urgent prayer for her husband, which we did pray. So she got healed just from listening to the videos of hypothyroidism and back pain.
Praise the Lord. What did he send to heal us?
His word.
His word.
Psalm 107:20.
It's amazing how we get healed listening to his word.
Okay, this one's really pretty cool. Dear Pastor, Martha and I are constantly talking to friends, neighbors, relatives, strangers, and others about your healing school and my complete healing from bone cancer.
Wow.
And Martha's healing of a 70-year phobia. She was so afraid of dogs that she would walk two blocks away from wherever there was a dog. So she took a long trip all the time. Okay.
Wow.
And so this happened in January 2015. We attended your healing class on a Saturday afternoon. Since we confessed our sins, asked for forgiveness and healing, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, through Jesus Christ, answered our prayers, and we are happy as peaches and cream on Bluebell ice cream.
that's pretty happy, right?
Yes.
That's pretty happy.
We live near Brenham, Texas, and help keep them in business, Bluebell. Praise the Lord. God is still in charge. Thank you and Miss Cheryl for your great work of teaching the word directly from the Bible. God and Jesus say what they do and do what they say. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord.
This is kind of interesting on the bottom. I'll read this. This is not about a testimony. They were requesting 6 more copies of God's Power CD. I am selective about who I give these to when they are hurt, sick, joyful, happy, etc. Only one has given a CD back to me and said it did not conform to his belief. He's a retired Baptist preacher. I simply said to myself, okay, praise the Lord. Thanks again for your contribution to the lost and sick people, as well as happy individuals, letting them know how to read and understand the Bible. And we give all honor, glory, praise, and thanks to the King, God Almighty, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Milton and Martha Zander.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. She's talking about they ordered 6 more sets of those God's Power. I remember one day in a service I was teaching, a pastor was there, and I said something about this God's power. And I said, well, that's the one that got me thrown out of the Bill Gothard conference. I said, I went down there and I spoke, and they made this CD. And I said, the next day, they banned me from all Bill Gothard teachings. I said, they already had me on their flyers. I had one of them that I was going to speak in San Francisco and San Diego, and Big Sandy was the first one. But I said, after they heard the first one, I said, they just threw me out. They said, you can't speak at any more Bill Gothard conferences. He said, well, let me see that. I want to see what got you thrown out. I said, okay. So I gave him a copy of it, and he come back next Sunday. He said, Thurman, that's one of the best CDs you've ever made. Isn't that amazing? You make a CD that gets people healed, and I mean, you know, so what's the big deal? You know, when Jesus was over there, whenever he was there with the woman, you know, that he told her she'd had five husbands, and the guy she had now wasn't her husband and all that stuff. You know, it said, and she went and told the people, and the whole city came out to see him, and then they requested that he leave their county. They didn't want Jesus nowhere. Well, let me tell you what, that's why we don't see him do much. It's because he's not there. You know, so if you have that love relationship, like Dave was talking about a while ago, with Jesus Christ, that's what's on your heart, and that's what comes out of your mouth. And when that comes out of your mouth, then you get to see Jesus do great things. I have another brother and his wife here today. I'm going to ask him to come up and give us a testimony. Let me have that mic, honey. And I want you to come up here and tell us who you are, what your name is, where you're from, so we can have this documented.
All right. My name's Mark Bradbury. We live in Santo. Me and my wife came here to hear Thurman one Sunday, and I'd been a Baptist my whole life, 9 months before I was born. Christian home. I heard Thurman speak. Scales fell off my eyes.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I learned more in that one day than years. But anyway, several things have happened since. And then me and my wife were fixing, or we wanted to get married, so we had Thurman marry us anyway.
Amen. Amen. And it stuck.
It stuck.
It still holding. Okay.
Anyway, we heard Thurman speak, and so many things have happened since then. I could give you 100 testimonies, but my best friend from high school, Dennis Berry, he inherited a company in Corpus Christi. He's the largest employer in Corpus Christi, 3,000 employees.
Wow.
We've known each other for 45 years or so, give or take. He called me, said, I've got cancer. And I said, don't worry. He said, what do you mean, don't worry? He said, the doctor wants to cut out my back part of my tongue, cut out most of my throat, and then he wants me to go on chemo. And I said, well, you do what you think is best, but you don't have to do that. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, it's a long story, but I'll send you some CDs. I want you to listen to these CDs. If you love me like I love you, listen to these CDs and do exactly what they say. And so he did. He called me up. He said, brother, I'm already going to people and forgiving them for things they've done to me. You know, with 3,000 employees, you have problems every day.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so he said, but I'm going to take the chemo. And I said, well, you don't have to. I don't believe you. I don't believe you need it. So he says, after listening to all these CDs, he says, I'm just claiming I'm healed. I'm claiming I'm healed. So that was last October. He called me just the other day. He said, I've had 3 PET scans. There's nothing there. They can't find anything.
Praise the Lord, brother. Praise God. We love that, don't we? Praise the Lord. You know, if we could just get to the point where we could believe God's word, that's the only thing that we need to know is only believe the word of God.
Amen.
He sent his word to deliver us. He sent his word to heal us. He sent everything. And I'm telling you, I mean, I think when I look through this little group today, I see people sitting here that I've come and went with you to see your friends or your neighbors or whatever that had cancer or some life-threatening thing. And nearly every one of your friends were Christians. They went to church. They loved God, they said. But many of you, I can look out across here and see people that I went and sat down with you and your friends and show them the, read it right out of God's holy word. This is what it says, if you'll only believe. And many of you, those friends, believed and got healed, just like this one with Mark. But many of them didn't believe. You notice something Mark said there, that I was raised a Baptist. And he said that first Sunday they came here, he learned more about the Word of God than he had for many, many other years. You know, if you go to Baptist, Church of Christ, Methodist, it doesn't make a difference where you go. If you don't use any of the healing words that Jesus put in his book, your friends are still going to be sick and they're going to die. And they're, you know, if it was on, well, just like that one that Cheryl read there to us a while ago. They give you back a DVD or a CD and says, I don't believe that. It doesn't conform to my theology. I mean, I can remember one time. In fact, I want to tell you that last Sunday, for those of you that were here last Sunday, for those that doesn't really realize that sin and sickness are directly related, the Word of God is so clear last Sunday in Matthew chapter 3 that God sent John the Baptist with one message, didn't he, Max? I mean, that's a preacher that I preach the same message every Sunday, every Monday, every Tuesday, every Wednesday, every Thursday, every day he's preaching the same thing. You bunch of scallywags. Yeah, that wasn't exactly what he said, was it? But he did call them some pretty bad names, didn't he? He wasn't easy on them, was he, Miss Betty? No, he wasn't. What are you doing coming down here? I'm here to baptize with water. I've come for you to repent. Turn from your wicked ways. Repent and turn to the Lord. Make the way of the Lord straight. Repent, folks, repent. But when people say, you know, Jesus doesn't ask us to repent before he can heal us, I don't know what Bible you're reading. So we go to chapter 4 today, and I want us to look in chapter 4 as we read chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4. I'll be real careful not to trip over this new flower they put up here. There is a new picture in the hallway, one of me and Cheryl. Somebody asked me, what do you think about that picture? I said, well, they said, isn't that a good-looking guy? I said, well, I don't know about the guy, but I said, that girl there beside him, she sure is pretty. But anyway, my wife and I, we've got a picture. Somebody made a picture, a big one. And so they framed it yesterday and put it up out there in the hallway. And, of course, if you haven't seen Caitlin, our little granddaughter, the one that was killed 16 years ago, technically, I mean, her brain stem was severed, her eyes were jerked out of her brain, her skull was crushed in five places. And folks, let me tell you, I'm really grateful that she was in such bad shape, because that way I got no arguments from the doctors. You know, when you go in and you just like Mark, his friend, when he goes in, the doctors want to cut out your tongue. Now, what does that tell you? The man has had bitterness and unforgiveness, and he's spoken evil about many people. He's slandered with his tongue, so that's why it hit him in the tongue. See, people don't understand the part, those scriptures that we've used before, that whatever you sin with, that's where you will be attacked. So, you know, when a woman starts coming down with uterus cancer, I tell her, hey, you're probably not married, or you're sleeping around with somebody you ain't married to. What's that got to do with it? Everything in the world. If you're sleeping around with a guy you ain't married to, or you're committing adultery or whatever, and you're, in fact, Cheryl and I somewhere, I don't remember where it was, but we were somewhere, and this lady with three little children came down the aisle, and she said, I need you to pray for me. I have uterus cancer. I said, ma'am, are you still married? Well, yes, I am. I said, you got three kids here. I says, are you having sex with a man you're not married to? I said, she said, well, I am. I said, why would you do that if you're married? She said, well, because my husband's in prison. So your husband's in prison, and you have nobody to have sex with. You got these kids, and so you're having sex with a man that you're not even married to? She says, so what's wrong with that? I said, well, you see what it's doing? It's killing you with uterus cancer. The scripture says, the area or the part of the body that you use to sin with, that is the part that will be attacked. Most people never read that. But it's in there, isn't it? So if you got a problem with your tongue, guess what? You're speaking evil about somebody, and you need to repent. And if you're holding bitterness and unforgiveness, that definitely will bring cancer into your body. And whenever Mark's good, I believe you said that was one of your lifelong friends. Is that right, Mark?
Yeah, ever since I was 15, we became friends when I was 15.
Wow, so they've been friends all these years. So when his good friend calls him and says, Mark, I got bad news. I got cancer. Well, I mean, a few years ago, Mark wouldn't have known that either, right? But after you come to this little guy that used to be a Baptist like he was, but the only difference is, like Dave said, I spent 5 to 15 hours a week for 10 years reading the book. And when I read the book, guess what I found in this book? Max, we found some good things in this book, didn't we, son? And he found out it worked. Yeah, Max found out it worked for him, too. He was, I don't know, maybe he was a good Baptist. Were you a good Baptist? You were a Baptist just like the rest of us. But when you started looking at the book, you thought, this book says a whole lot of things I never heard preached in a Baptist church. And then when you tried it on your own life and then you got healed, you found out this worked. And then the lovely testimony that Max has given us here before. His wife was Baptist too, see, and of course she's kind of skeptical. You know, when you've been a Baptist all your life, you know, all of a sudden your husband or somebody goes listen to some crazy guy that's got a whole new theology about the whole Word of God. It seems like you think, no, you know. But he's trying to convince her, honey. He's trying to do this gently and nicely because he wants her to believe. So one day they had a problem, I believe it was with the refrigerator, wasn't it, Max?
Yes, it was.
It had a little problem with the refrigerator, and the refrigerator wouldn't work, and it wouldn't run like it's supposed to, or whatever, and they had all kinds of family coming in, and they just had, best I can remember, he's given the testimony, but I don't remember all the details. But anyway, he was trying everything, and so that morning he told her, said, honey, why don't we just get up here? The Bible says if two of us on earth agree about anything, honey, this is what it says right here. She says, what are you trying to tell me? He said, why don't we pray in agreement over the refrigerator and let God fix it? Now, that's a little beyond most of our ability to think. But anyway, kind of reluctantly, of course, he's the spiritual head, and he's doing this right. So he gets his wife, and they either lay hands on this refrigerator. That's what he did. And they prayed, and when they said, thank you, Lord, guess what happened?
It worked.
The switch clicked and it come on, and I guess that refrigerator's still working today. So now then, guess what? She's not quite as hard to get along with. She's kind of...
Well, I think finding her earring also was...
Oh, yeah, that was a great one, too. Yeah, she had lost an earring. That, in fact, you come up here and tell us that right quick, Max. That's a great... I can't remember.
It was diamond. That was expensive.
A diamond earring she lost. Tell us what happened. It's on, I think, already.
My wife got a master's degree, and when she got her master's degree, I told her that I'd buy her a set of diamond earrings. Not cheap, but really nice diamond earrings. And she wears them all the time, and she had it in her ear, wearing it all the time. And one day, and it was on a Thursday, she told me, she says, I've lost my diamond earring. And I said, well, we'll find it. We'll, you know, it'll turn up. She says, I've been looking for it. And I was like, okay, we'll find it. Well, that day we had cleaning people come into the house, and they cleaned the entire house, shower, the whole nine yards. The next morning, she gets in the shower, she showers, I get up, I get in the shower, and I feel something under my foot. So the cleaning people have been in the shower and cleaned the house. My wife's been in the shower, and I reach down, and I find her diamond earring. And it is a diamond earring stud, and it has the back on it. And I open the door and hand it to her, and her eyes are just, I mean, she's about to cry. Well, last time I gave this testimony, I didn't give the other part of it because I didn't know this yet. We had gone on a cruise 2 or 3 years ago, and she had a set of pearl earrings, and she had lost one of the pearl earrings, and it had lost, you know, and she never knew where it was. I didn't know. I didn't know it was missing. You know, we prayed that we would find the diamond ear, or we prayed that we would find the earring. Well, the next week, she's in her, I don't know what you call it, a jewelry box or whatever, and there she pulls it out, and there's the pearl earring there. So we've actually found two earrings that had gone missing.
Because you prayed for an earring.
Because we were in agreement, and, you know, God answered our prayers.
So. Wow, praise the Lord. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, is this God we serve just pretty cool? I mean, Baxter's got something. He's having to think about something else.
This was last week.
Oh, good. Okay.
Or 2 weeks ago. Mike will appreciate this. I've been working on my son's Jeep, and in this Jeep transfer case, there's this little bitty part, and it's just a little pin, and we had taken it apart, put it all back together, and I could not find this pin. And I walked into the house, and my wife says, "What's wrong?" Because I looked fairly dejected, and I said, "Would you be in agreement with me that God will show me where that pin is? Because I didn't want to put it back together, that missing, or it be lost in there, destroy everything I had done." And she goes, "Yes." So we said a prayer over it. I walked back out. Took the transfer case apart, found the pin inside of it, put it all back together and put the pin where it was. And I walked back in the house a couple hours later, and she goes, "Well." And I said, "Well, we found it." And she just looked at me and was like, "Okay." She's starting to realize that when the two of us are in agreement about anything, that God's answering our prayers.
Amen, amen. That's great, Max. That's great. It is amazing the promises God put in the book, isn't it, Max?
Amen.
And you know, why are we so stiff-necked, hard-headed? What is it? Why are we like this? You know, when God clearly said, just like that scripture that Max and I quoted there, that Matthew 18:19, which says, "If just two of you," and of course, you know, that's the beautiful part about a man and a wife, there's two of you. And he says, "If just two of you on earth agree about anything, I will do it for you." Isn't that amazing? And here's this wonderful, awesome promise. And I know people, and of course, the thing too, I don't know whether Mark had ever got to tell his friend this or not, but I'm sure if he said he sent him 10 CDs, and he listened to them, and then he realized that he was healed. There is a very scary scripture that I'm so glad that God forgives us for this so much of the time. Because in James 1:6-7, he says, "When you pray, you must believe with no doubt in your heart." Because if you don't believe I can do what I said I can do, then he said, you're double-minded and you're unstable in all your ways. And he said, "Let not that man think I, the Lord, will do anything for you." How many of us doubt? I would like to say that probably at least 150% of us doubt. Not just 100%, 150, because we think we don't, but we do. We really do. I mean, it's amazing that we doubt, because when I look at the disciples and you look at the scripture, and when Jesus, after he had walked with these boys, talked to these boys, slept with these boys, you know, ate with these boys, his disciples, everything, then they saw him killed, they saw him on the cross, they saw everything. And then they see him walking. Tony, that's got to be quite a deal when you're down on the ground looking up at this body that's beat all to thunder and bloody and everything and just tore all to pieces, and you see him die, and you see them run that sword up in his side, and water and blood and everything comes out. You know he's dead. You know it. It's over. But then a few days later, he walks in and says, "Hi, guys, I'm ready for dinner." And they can't believe it. But is that us? It says, some of them believed, but many of them doubted. I mean, you've seen all this. So what does that prove to me? That proves to me that seeing miracles, even hearing about miracles, really doesn't produce a whole lot of faith. If you really want to have great faith, mix the Word of God with everything else. You know, I bet you Max and his wife, I bet you that they do spend some time together reading the Word of God together. And sometimes whenever you read it, I'm sure there's times that you read over something that you see a great and awesome promise that you might kind of emphasize that a little bit. You know, like, you know, one of the promises of God. You know, I mean, we can read, we can be listening, we can be going along there, and we hear a wonderful promise like Matthew 18:19, where it says, "Again, I tell you that if two of you agree," and it would come up like Kim used to say, and she's a school teacher, and she used to say, you know, "Wouldn't it be nice if that really worked?" You know, and so just read it and then go on by, right, Kim?
That's right.
I mean, because she's already asked two or three people in the church, does that mean what it says? And everybody says, no. No, it don't mean what it says. Well, now, wait a minute. When I started reading and looking at the Bible and started studying like I did, if I run onto a promise like that, that I can ask for anything in the name of Jesus, then why don't it work? Why does it not work? What is wrong with this, Max? Why is it that we can read this? Of course, you know, until you started coming here, you were just like that. Yeah, you were there, so we can't badmouth your wife because you and her were Baptists. You're going to church, and if it was written in that book and you read it, you knew it meant what it said, but you never acted on it. When you begin to believe it was real, when you said, honey, come over here and let's agree in prayer, we're going to find this earring.
Well, we also got all our sins forgiven and taken care of. And it says God doesn't listen to prayer.
That's what it says. And, of course, think of something else he just said a while ago. I think all of y'all probably picked up on this. It was a stud earring, and she had lost it out of her ear. But where did they find the stud and the clip on? Where were they? They were together. Isn't that something? So it's if the stud is there and the cover is on that and it's together in one piece, and it came out of her ear that somebody, and there ain't no hole torn the ear. Somebody put that back together, Max, and we think we know who that is.
I know who it is.
The Lord sent an angel, didn't he? Because if the Lord sent an angel and somebody had already cleaned, the cleaning people had been there and cleaned the shower and the tub, and that was in there, and then she got in and took a shower and cleansed and rinsed out the tub, and then he gets in and steps on it, and it's right there under his foot. And they found it. That's like this friend of mine up in the Northeast. When he got a hold of my teaching, he same way went kind of nuts, thinking, Thurman, you don't mean to tell me this stuff really works. I said, well, all I can say, brother, it's in the Word of God. If it's in the Word of God, I don't know whether I'm smart enough or dumb enough to believe that God is smart enough to put what he wants in the book. I don't think that he just haphazardly threw a few things together and said, I hope all this stuff works. I think he knew everything, don't you? I mean, after all, who is he? He's God. That's who we're dealing with here, God. Anyway, this friend of mine up in the Northeast, so he started listening to my stuff, and he started ordering, calling, and telling me I need more stuff. And so I sent him more stuff, and one day he said, I got a great testimony. He said, I'm trying to get my wife and my children, my daughter especially, to listen to these teachings. And he says, they listen a little while, and they say, oh, Daddy, that can't be true. He said that we've been in church all of our life. We've been in good churches. We ain't never heard anybody talk on them scriptures, so you know they couldn't mean what they say, because they had somebody else would have taught about it. So anyway, he said, but you know, it does say it. Well, but we just can't believe it, Daddy. So one day one of his daughters called and said, Daddy, I have lost the keys to the car. I can't find them nowhere. And said, I've got somewhere I've got to go in just a few minutes, and I have looked this house over. He said, have you prayed? She said, of course not. I have not prayed. I don't believe that's going to happen. He said, well, let me pray. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, show me and my daughter where the keys are at for her car. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Bam. He said, honey, the Lord just showed me a vision. They're laying on the porch, the seat out in front on the front porch. They're laying right there. She said, Daddy, I have not even been outside. The kids have not been outside. I guarantee the keys to my car is not out there in that swing. He said, well, honey, will you please walk out there and look? No, I'm not going to go look because I know it's not there. He said, you got a phone in your hand. I can talk with you. Just walk out there and look. Okay, for you, Dad, I'll do it. So she walked out the front door, out to the porch, walks up to the swing and looks down, and she says, my God, Dad, they're laying right there in the seat. Same angel. So anyway, you know, whenever these kind of things start happening, when you start standing on the promises of God, and then something indescribably happens, like the earring, like the refrigerator. That's been a long time ago, and that refrigerator you and her prayed over is still running, right, Max?
Last December.
Wow. Isn't that amazing that how these kind of things work? So, you know, we got these wonderful, awesome promises, and Jesus is telling us, just like you just said, now then, if you want these things to work, you got to read the part that I said, straighten your act up. You know, I want you to act like a gentleman. I want you to love your wife like Christ loved the church. I want you to be a good boy. Now, I'm going to do it because you're going to use the name of my son. But if you're not a good boy, I won't answer your prayer. Is that what he said, Max?
That's exactly what he said.
So if you're not a good boy to your wife, I just won't answer your prayer. So if guys are not loving their wife, and I know none of y'all, I know I'm the only guy around that has any trouble with his wife. I know that I'm the only boy that ever says anything wrong. But I have to say, I'm still flesh and blood. I try, but sometimes I still mess up. And I'm glad that I don't have to make 100% to get God to do some good things. Because if I did, I'd never get a prayer answered. But Cheryl and I are trying our best to walk in love, just like the scripture says, so we can get our prayers answered. And boy, lately, we have had some phenomenal answers to prayer, especially on the internet, haven't we, honey? I mean, as people answered, I mean, they call in with every kind of, in fact, I guess those four you read a while ago, all those came off the internet, right? So just think, when you get to where you believe that God will do what he said, anything two of you agree, if me and Cheryl is laying there in bed with her computer, laying on her lap and her stomach or something, and she's all bent up there with a big pillow behind her back, and she's typing, she's got her glasses on, she looks like a little girl that's just really doing something, and we're talking over something, and she's doing the typing, and we pray for somebody, and then when we pray, we quote scripture, and I look at what we just said, and we use scripture from what we just planned, and I say, now then, it's done, I guarantee it. I guarantee it. In fact, I had a guy here the other day said, you are the one and only man I have ever seen in my life that would guarantee God's word. I thought to myself, if I'm the only guy he's ever seen that can guarantee God's word, then you're not going to get very many answers to prayer. Because if you pray, just like James 1, 6 and 7 says, when you pray, you got to pray believing with no doubt in your heart. Because if you don't believe, it won't work. It just won't work. So, anyway, when I think about the things that the Lord says that we can do, I look at some of these scriptures, and let's read that to James 1, 6, and 7 one time. Then we're going to go to Matthew 3. Now then, I quoted this a while ago, but I don't think I put it on the board for you, so I'd really like for you to see it. Anytime I quote something that's contrary to what people think, and many people will tell you that, Thurman, God is not that kind of God. You know, he's understanding, he will answer my prayer. I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to do it in faith. But according to the scripture, but let him ask in faith. Without faith, have you heard that scripture in Hebrews 11 that says, without faith it's impossible to please God? You've read that, right? So if you want to try to get him to answer your prayer, wouldn't you think you'd like to do it where you pleased him? Because he said, without faith it's impossible to please me. So if you don't please him, you're not going to get much. And so, you know, he says, but when you ask in verse 6, he says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed with the wind and tossed. And next verse, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So if you don't ask in faith, it's very difficult to get God to do something. Now, it's going to be interesting. Mark's friend, I don't know. Did he have chemo or did he finally just decide to trust God?
He had a little bit of chemo and then he finally said, no, this is it. I'm not going to take
any more. So he had just a little bit of chemo?
Yes.
And then said, that's it, I'm not going no more?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's why he got healed, because he decided to trust God. Does the scripture say when you pray, you must believe? Do you think? Do what, honey?
There's a new study that says chemo causes cancer to grow.
Oh, yeah.
It came out 2 days ago.
Chemo, I mean, just think, ladies and gentlemen, if there's anything I don't care if I had no faith or not, the last thing I'd let anybody do to my body is chemo and radiation. I mean, I ain't going there. I don't care if I ain't got any faith. I don't care what they tell me. You're going to die in 30 minutes if you don't have chemo or radiation. I just say, praise God, bring it on. You know, because I ain't going to do no chemo and radiation on this piece of flesh. It ain't going to happen. You know, I know we're going to put this thing in the ground whenever I get through with it. You know, I know that, but it ain't going to be burned up with radiation, I guarantee you. And it's amazing that when you stop and think about the scripture, when it says that whatever you sin with, That's where you will be attacked. So just think, when you start looking at somebody and they got a problem with their mouth and want to cut their tongue out, I don't know about you, but that don't even sound inviting to me at all. But that's just like that boy up there in Minnesota the other day that they brought to the healing school up there. We were in Charlotte. That boy was fixing it. He's a, oh, Des Moines, is that where we were? That's right, we were at Des Moines. Yeah, in other words, we got a letter from that boy this week that he's completely healed, and that he's got a friend that's got cancer the same kind of way, and he wants them to get with us and us get together when we go up there. Well, you know, Lord, what do I do? How do I get this word out, Lord? How do I do this? I'm doing the best I can, but I know the Lord told me that time when he told me to build this little building out here, I told him, you know, this is how you can tell what you think God really knows, whenever he tells you to build a building out here and then you try to give him some counsel. You know you got a problem. You know you got a problem. And I said, but Lord, nobody will ever find this little, if I build this little church out here in the middle of nowhere, nobody will ever find this. He said, you just build the church. I will bring who I want to come to your healing schools. So leave it up to me. That's not your problem. He said, when you bring them, you just teach the word like I've showed you, and that's all up to me. And so I'm telling you what, there's been many a man and woman come through this healing school right here in this little building. And we've seen hundreds and thousands of them that have gotten healed. And I love it, and they all get well, and they love it. And like Mark, you're talking about his friend, a lifelong friend. You know, this is something that's very critical. If you got a lifelong friend that's the biggest employer in Corpus Christi or wherever you said.
Yeah, I forgot to mention something too. After he listened to the CD, I said, well, are you ready to come to the healing school? He said, why do I need to do that? He said, I have complete faith with God's word, and I am healed.
Amen. Well, that's why. Now, that's faith, Mark, that's faith. And that's the kind of faith Jesus wants all of us to have in him.
Amen.
In other words, whenever he gives us this information, and when Jesus himself, now, when we go back, in fact, let's go back to Matthew 4, and let's read a little more in Matthew 4, and let's see what Jesus said. When John come on, he had one message, repent. I mean, is that what he preached?
Yes.
Repent, repent, repent. Then Jesus comes on the scene. When Jesus comes on the scene, let's see what he says. Okay, so after we, let's go to Matthew 4. Okay, Matthew 4:17. Okay, let's just start with verse 1 there then. Then was Jesus led up on by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, let me ask you a question. If you think you're going to get through this life without some kind of test and temptations, you got a problem. You know, if the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, if he was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, I guarantee you, you and me are going to be tested of the devil. Now then, every time we go through, just like all these testimonies that we've listened to today, I'm so grateful for all of them, all of you that have had faith to stand on them, those were tests that you went through to build your faith. You know, the Lord moved on your heart, you know, so that, because you have no idea the number of people that will hear the testimony that Mark gave today, that Max gave today, and Max has given his a couple of times before, but still today on this teaching, there's no telling how many people might hear that, and just like the one back there with Mark. I mean, this is the first time for us on that. I didn't know that until he told me about it a while ago, but this teaching will go out to who knows how many tens of thousands of people. And somewhere down the line at the right place, there'll be somebody just like Mark. When he sent picked up 10 different CDs and sent them to his friend and said, now you listen to all 10 of these. When you listen to them, call me. And when he listened to them, he called him, and that's when he told him, he said, now you need to come to a healing school. He said, no, I don't need to come to healing school. According to God's word, I'm already healed. And that's true, isn't it? So if that's true, now then why doesn't it work for all of us? Will it work for all of us? Yes, if we get rid of sin, it will work for all of us. You know, if you don't get it done the first day, then keep working till the second day. If you don't get it done the second day, work on and on and on. I know of a man, I don't know him personally, but I know a great man of faith that walked in great and awesome power with God, And in his later years, he came down with kidney stones. I mean, he had kidney stones. He would go out and preach to people and lay hands on people. New parts be put into their bodies. I mean, awesome miracles. I mean, arthritis, crippled up, knotted hands would become normal when he prayed. All kinds of awesome things happened, but he couldn't get healed himself. He fought that battle, and this was his command to the Lord. Lord, you might as well go ahead and heal me, because I ain't going to let nobody put a knife on this body. There ain't nobody touching this body but you. So I'm believing you to heal this body. So he fought that battle and passed hundreds of kidney stones for 5 years. And then I've read articles where that the son-in-law would come in and say, he called him Dad. He said, Dad would preach and see awesome to thousands. He said he'd preach to thousands. And people would get healed, and miracles would happen, and all kinds of stuff happened. And then he'd come in and lay down on the bed screaming, God, you might as well go ahead and heal me. Or kill me one of the two, because there ain't nobody going to put a knife on this body. It ain't never going to happen. But he fought that battle for 5 years, and then one morning he woke up, and it wasn't a kidney stone nowhere, and he was completely healed. And then he said, the son-in-law said, after Dad got healed from those kidney stones, after that day, it made no difference what Dad asked God for, it happened.
Amen.
So see, God knew what he was doing. And there's no telling what he done by testing that man. There's no telling what he'll do testing you. Because the tests and the trials and the tests he's putting you through is not just for nothing. It's so for he can be glorified. So people, I can remember, I knew of a man. I still know this man personally. And he was down in South America one time. And he's a great man of faith too. And just like Smith Wigglesworth was. He was not quite as powerful as Smith, but he was a great man of God. But he went down there to preach. And when he left, all of a sudden something happened. And his voice box went away, and he could hardly even speak. So he repented of everything. He didn't know all these principles, but he was learning. But anyway, he said, I went down there to South America to preach. Said I when I got ready to go out on the platform, there are thousands of people he's going to preach to. He said he couldn't hardly hear himself talk. He just barely could whisper. So he said, I don't know what's wrong, but he said, I'm going to preach anyway. So he said, I'll just turn the mic up as loud as I can. He walked out there on the front and he started preaching, and about an hour into it, somebody said, you know, why don't he quit? We can't hear what he's saying anyway. You know, why don't he quit? And he said, no, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to continue to preach. He said, it's just a test I'm going through. And he said, I guarantee the Word of God says by his stripes I was healed, so I am healed, and it's a done deal. And I'm going to talk loud. And all his voice come back. It's right there. And man, he preached the next hour with boldness and power like he had never preached in his life. That was an awesome thing the Lord did for that man that day. So see, when it busted out, he was speaking as loud as he could, and you couldn't even hear him. Boy, when he did, it like to blew the roof off of the Colosseum. But God glorified himself through that pastor of his. I was standing up there saying, the Word says this, I believe it. And God really put him to the test. And some of us wonder, why does God do that? Why does he put us to the test? He's training us how to be overcomers, Max. And he wants you to be the overcomer. Somewhere down the line, you have no idea what he has for you one day, or you and your wife, what y'all may get to pray for as a couple. He is building y'all's faith to a new level all the time. And you know that. Praise the Lord. He could never get there where he was, but he will do it now. So praise the Lord. I love serving the Lord and watching him do these wonderful things. Now then, let's next verse, verse 5. Oh, verse 2. Verse 2. Go, you read that for me.
And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungry.
Let me ask you a question. What is the longest time you've ever fasted? How many? 18 and a half days. Okay, I'll tell you a story about this. Cheryl and I had been up north to preach to a group, and one of the little boys in a wheelchair, a Mennonite group, one boy, he had MD, and we taught the Word of God, we prayed over him, we tried to get him out of that wheelchair, we did everything we knew to do. And so when we finally got through preaching, we come home, and on the way home, Cheryl said, honey, why didn't that little boy get healed? She said he had great faith. I said, yes, I know. But I said, he didn't get healed because of me. She said, what do you mean? I said, I don't have the faith. I said, I just don't have the faith. She said, well, what would it take to get that kind of faith? I said, well, I have to look at Jesus and what Jesus did that I've never done. I have never fasted and prayed for 40 consecutive days in a row. You know, I've seen people that fasted or done without food for 40 days, but most of them didn't spend time with God. So it doesn't do you a lot of good to spend 40 days without food if you're not talking about Jesus, because he's the one that you need to be in fine tune with. But anyway, I told her, so she said, what do we need to do? I said, well, we really need to fast and pray really, really for 40 days and 40 nights. She said, we'll do it. I said, have you ever fasted before? She says, no. I said, uh-oh, you're going to step out on your first fast. I said, I've done 3-day fast, 5-day fast, 10-day fast, 14-day fast, but I've never done a 40-day fast. But I told her, I said, you think you want to do this? She said, yes, I want to do this. I'm willing to do this for that kid. I thought, you know, I don't hardly know anybody that's willing to die for somebody, but to fast and pray for somebody for 40 days, somebody you don't even know, that's dedication. That's really dedication, folks, I'll just have to say. So we come back home, and Cheryl said, okay, we're going to start Friday or whatever. I said, well, the first thing we want to do, we want to make sure we ask God to take away our hunger pains. I said, that's the one thing I've learned about fasting. I said, if I fast more than a day and I don't ask God to take away the hunger pains, I'm climbing off the walls. I mean, I'm hungry, aren't you?
Yes.
I guarantee you. I mean, I was hungry, you know, and that's just in a day. You know, I mean, just skip a couple of meals. You know, in fact, one day I was teaching about fasting, and a man and his wife and their daughters come by Dallas when we were over there. And so he told me, Lester, we're going to fast. We're going to go on a fast. I said, okay. But he missed the part about asking God for the hunger pains. So his wife called me a couple of weeks later and says, my husband, we started on that fast. And she said, we thought, well, we'll miss breakfast one morning, and then we'll miss noon, and we'll miss the evening meal. We'll see how this goes. She said, we got up and said he didn't have breakfast. And he said he was running around the house pulling the things off the wall because he's missed breakfast. Yeah, I need some breakfast. She said, well, we're not going to eat breakfast today. We're going to fast, remember? So he said, okay, so we get to noon. So the time we get to noon, he is clawing the wall. He's as hungry as he can be. And he said, at 6 o'clock that night, he says, fix me something to eat. I can't stand this no longer. She said, what do you do? How do you do that? I said, oh, I'm sorry. Y'all didn't hear the part about you need to ask the Lord to take away your hunger pains. She said, no, we didn't get that part. I said, okay. So anyway, I prayed for them and asked the Lord to take away their hunger pains next time they did a fast. And they called me in just a couple of weeks, and she said, my husband, he went 3 and on to the 4th day. We were only going to do 3 days. Said he went the 4th day, said, this is easy, we'll go on. He's now gone 4 days and did not have a single bite of anything but water to eat and drink. But she said, we had no problem. And just think of the difference it makes when you pray and ask God to help you with something. When you try to do it yourself, this little beast that we live in, this little critter, it's very near impossible for this thing to go more than one day without food. I'll tell you for sure. Do y'all know what I mean? Do you get hungry after one day with no groceries? Yeah, I'm telling you, we really do. So you need to learn to fast. So anyway, we fasted and prayed, and Cheryl and I, we were 18 and a half days into a fast. And I came out here that day I had a van that I didn't need, and I was going to give it to a church in Arkansas. And so I came out here to give them the title. And when I drove up in front of the church and I opened the door and stepped out, I'm holding on to the door, but when I stepped out, everything disappeared. Y'all know what I mean? I could still hear, but I couldn't see. You know, I mean, I was very unstable. I thought, whoops. I said, Lord, I'm sure glad you didn't let that happen at 60 miles an hour driving down the road. You know, because I thought, wow. I thought, so anyway, I learned a great lesson there. If you're going to fast more than 2 weeks, after 2 weeks, don't go anywhere. You know, stay at home. You know, I mean, just stay at home and just don't go anywhere. So anyway, I give them the stuff and what they did and everything, and I left and I went back to home where Cheryl was. And when I got there, on the way home, I'm talking to the Lord about this fast And he spoke to me audibly. He said, son, you're trying to exceed what Jesus did. I said, what do you mean I'm trying to exceed? No, I said, Lord, I'm not trying to exceed what Jesus did. He said, yes, you are. You're trying to work and fast and pray. He said, I sent Jesus into the wilderness. He fasted and prayed in the wilderness, and he didn't eat or drink anything, but he didn't work. He said, you're trying to carry on a job. You're trying to run the ministry, do everything. And if I let you do this for 40 days, then that means you will have exceeded what Jesus did. And he said, I will let no man exceed what the Master has done. And I thought to myself, you know, I've read that a couple of places in the Scripture. You know, that no servant can be greater than his Master. And so I thought, wow, isn't it amazing how God knows everything about everything? It's so awesome. So anyway, I got home that night, and I told Cheryl, I walked in, I said, well, honey, the fast is over. No, no, absolutely not. Now, you talk about a submissive wife. I mean, she is a submissive wife. I said, honey, the Lord told me the fast is over. She ain't hearing none of that. She says, no, we're going to fast. I'm going to continue. We're going to make it 40 days and 40 nights. We're not, but honey.
But you didn't tell me what the Lord said.
I know, but she's just, I mean, she's like a little hound dog, you know, boy, and she's going after this and she ain't quitting. So after a little while, after I told her a couple of times, and she's, no, she's not going to listen. She's going to do it. She's going to learn how to fast and pray for this kid. She wants to see that boy healed. And so anyway, so I said, okay. I just forget it. So that night, probably about 12, 1 o'clock in the night, I'm laying there and I can't sleep. Finally, I decided, okay, Cheryl's not making a sound. I don't even hear her breathing, you know, and she's so quiet over there. So I thought, okay, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go fix me a cup of tea or something. So I pulled the cover back and slid out. When I sat up, she's turning, where are you going? Boy, she was wide awake. I said, well, I'm fixing to go make me a cup of tea, and I'm going to put honey in it. She said, that'll break the fast. I said, yes, I know it will, but I said, the Lord told me today that the fast was over. He said that we have to quit. This is 18 and a half days now, but he told me the fast was over. We have to stop. And so she said, well, okay, if the Lord told you to do it, we'll quit. But it's a good thing we did quit, because the next morning I got up and had a scrambled egg or something and a piece of toast, and I was in good shape. But by the next day, I was really in good shape. And, of course, by the third day, I'm in really good shape, and we're fixing to go out of town to speak. And I have to carry Cheryl's roll-around suitcase and everything. She can still just barely walk. I mean, she was a whole lot further down the trail than I was. I think if we'd have went three more days, I think I'd have lost her. You know, that's how weak she was. She's like a kitten, you know. But don't you think God knows everything? So when he told me that the fast is over, what did he mean? The fast is over. So we ate and everything. We've never done another one like that, nowhere close. But anyway, maybe one day, if God wants us to, we'll do what he says. But until he tells me to do another fast, I'll just keep doing it like we're doing it. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, yeah, he was afterwards hungry. I guarantee you're going to be hungry. Okay, let's go on to the next verse, verse 3.
And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.
Okay, now there's a really good message right there for everybody to learn. It took me forever to learn it. Now, when you go to do something for God, find the earring, tell a man about Jesus, healing, whatever, the tempter will always be there to say, but Max, you fool, it ain't going to work for you. That was back from those and those. That's not for you. Is he still doing that?
Of course.
Of course he is. I guarantee he's doing everything he can to tell you it ain't going to work for you. It doesn't he, Miss Jackie?
Right.
In other words, he still does that to you.
Yes, sir.
He does it to me. He does it to Tony. He does it to all of us. And so this is the one thing about the devil you need to learn. When God made him, he made him very good at what he does. He's not good by me, but he's good at what he does. So he's always there. He's got a little demon. He'll tap him on the shoulder. Get out there and be with Thurman today. Watch him. Watch Miss Jackie get up there and help her out. Keep her on the negative side. You know, I mean, he's always, but you know what I mean? That beast is always there. If he was there for Jesus, you think he's going to miss you? No, guarantee he's going to not going to miss you. I mean, he will get you if he can. You notice that very heavy on if you be the Son of God. Do you think Jesus knew he was the Son of God? Yeah. Do you know you're a son or daughter of God? Sure, we have the same confirmation Jesus had. We know we're sons of God. We know we're daughters of God. Now, lots of people that are Christians don't know that. They really don't know that. You know, they have an idea, you know, that, well, I mean, in fact, I think Scott was telling me the other day, I think it was Scott, he said he was talking to some guy about going to heaven, and the guy was a Christian guy, supposedly going to church and everything. He says, well, nobody can really tell until you die if you're going to go to heaven or not. Hey, that's not the way I read the book. Did you read it like that? In other words, the Word of God says, the Lord says, John says, especially, I write this that you may know that you have eternal life and the Father is in you. That you may know and you can be assured that when you close your eyes in death, in that 1 second, you're going to go from here to there just like that. And there ain't no stopping it. But that tempter, he's really good. And of course, many people, he deceives them right up to the end. If thou be the Son of God. Wow. If. Okay, verse 4.
But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
So now then, if we're going to be tempted just like Jesus was, what do we need hidden in our hearts so we can come back at him?
The Word.
The Word. We need the Word. Absolutely. If you ain't got the Word in your heart, you are a pushover. I mean, you are a pushover for that beast. If you don't have the Word hidden in your heart, you can't recall it. And that's why I try to tell as many people as possible, learn where the scripture is, learn everything, the book, the verse, the whole nine yards. Don't just say, well, I know that Jesus said, by his stripes I am healed. The devil says, where is that? You say, well, I don't know, it's in the Bible somewhere. And he said, oh, no, you just heard some preacher say that. That's not really in the Bible. He'll lie to you. He'll tell you a lie. You know, he'll do everything he can. And then when you get to thinking, you'll think, well, you know, maybe I never have seen that in the Bible. Now then, oh, he said, well, see, I told you, you heard some preacher say that, and he didn't know what he was talking about. You know, if you don't believe that I've deceived these preachers, you got another thing coming. I mean, he has done a good job on bunches of us, bunches of you, bunches of... But what's really sad is when we take a testimony from a Baptist preacher that clearly says, you know, that I'm sending this CD back to you for God's power because it doesn't agree with my theology. But any of you in this room that have read or listened to God's power, you know, I quote scripture, everything, all the way through that. And there's not one single flaw in that CD about where and why and how God does things. It's a great CD. But you know the reason that thing was so good and so perfect and not a single flaw? Because God told me and you, he says, when you stand before the people, don't worry about what you're going to say. I'll take care of it. And so he does. It's not my problem. It's his problem. So he spoke right out of my mouth to put everything he wanted on that CD. And I guarantee it works just like it says. But that is amazing. If it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Next verse.
Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple.
Next verse.
And saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone.
Okay, now this scripture she just read, where the devil said, it is written, is that true?
Yes.
What is it? Where is it written?
In Psalm
91, the very psalm that we, in fact, I was stood amazed there a while ago that Tony and Bill was telling me that about the 91st division, they can't verify that. Somebody somewhere couldn't verify that really did happen. So they went now and got some verifiable teachings, and we're going to edit that thing. And the new ones that will be coming out will all have absolute confirmed stories on there that cannot be denied. Is that right, Bill?
That's right.
Yeah. So see, we don't want to do anything. And see, that's something... I don't know why as many as us that was working on this, all of us, I don't know why one of us didn't think, why not verify these stories before we put them on there. I never even thought about it. I just figured, well, they're here. But so anyway, we're making sure that everything from now on between Tony and Bill, we're going to make sure that any story that's on these things is a verifiable story and that they are there. Because, you know what happens if somebody, people are skeptical about God's word already. So if somebody does come along and say, well, okay, well, I don't believe this 91st Brigade really exists, or maybe they did or didn't, but I want to see and I want to find some people that got some verifiable information, and they start looking and find out there is no verifiable information. Then they come back to us and say, see, your Bible ain't true. These stories are not true. But there's many stories that are verifiable. You know, and so anyway, we're just going to make sure on our CDs and DVDs that they are verifiable and that they can be proven to be the truth. Because I'm telling you, that's why I love to have so many testimonies, like when I invited Mark up a while ago to come up here and stand here and tell you all the story about his best friend. When you have a man that's a man of God that talks about his best friend for 45 years or whatever, and you got names and everything, that's verifiable information. Somebody says, I don't believe that story is true. I got to talk to Mark myself. You could probably call Mark and he'd be happy to tell you the same thing he told us because he knows it's true. Now then, in the near future, who knows? Mark said something a while ago to me. He said, I think my friend, he said he's probably going to get a whole busload or whatever of people in down there that he knows that's got cancer. Because, you know, if cancer is caused by unforgiveness and bitterness, how many cases of cancer is out there? A whole bunch of them. But isn't it amazing that when you find out you got cancer in your throat or in your tongue and all that stuff, and it's all because you've been bad-mouthing somebody, and all you got to do is stop doing that. And God said it in His Word, you know, that we're not to speak evil of no one. And so we're going to have to learn how to do things differently. What does that mean? Jeremiah 21:14. All right, right quick, let's put that on the board and let everybody see that. Scott, Jeremiah 21:14.
But I will punish you according to the fruit of your doings, saith the Lord, and I will kindle a fire in the forest thereof, and it shall devour all things round about it.
You know, there's a whole bunch of people that have never seen that scripture. But I will punish you according to the fruit of your doings. Isn't that something? It's written. If it's written, it means what it says. So that's why that we have learned over the years, and that's how we've been able to make these little notes that we put with our stuff, that, if you have bitterness and unforgiveness, I guarantee that, you know. And, of course, one of the things we've learned that I can't verify by Scripture is that if you have bitterness and unforgiveness and you have an attack on the right-hand side of your body, you have a problem with a male. If it's on the left-hand side of your body, it's problems with a female. Now, I don't know how, I don't know where we got that, but just notice that's the way it works. And so, I don't know. I don't know how that works. What, Annie?
I thought that Dave had some Jewish writings or something like that that spoke about that the female was taken out of the left side of Adam. I thought he talked of some writings
like
that.
Yeah, Dave has talked about that.
And that would be your proof right there.
Maybe that's where it came from. I don't know.
As well as the heart.
But I do know we've learned a lot of things that works, but you know, it really doesn't make any difference, right or left, whatever it is. If you got cancer on the right side or cancer on the left side, you want to get rid of it all, right? You don't care whether it was because of a man or woman. If you can just be told, if I got cancer, whether it be on either side or cancer in my tongue, I need to stop talking evil about people and I need somebody to pray a prayer of faith for me after I get right with God, hey, that's the main thing, right? And then we get you healed. So that's the way we want it to be. But that scripture, I will punish you according to the fruit of your doings, saith the Lord. You notice he said, saith the Lord. I will punish you according to the fruit of your doings. You better be careful what you do because it will bring forth sickness and disease. Okay, let's go back to where we were in Matthew. Yeah, what were we about, verse 5
Jesus
or 6
Jesus said
or
unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.
Yeah. We need to learn a lesson from that ourselves. Don't test or tempt the Lord. Just stand on His Word and go do something for Jesus. Next verse. 8.
Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them.
Next verse.
And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me.
You know, when I first started teaching the Bible, I said this right here, this wasn't true because it didn't belong to the devil. He's trying to give away something that doesn't belong to him, but I was wrong. The kingdoms of this world do belong to him. They have not been given to our Lord yet. They're still the devil. He's still the one that's in charge down here. And this right here, all these things will I give to you. Nearly every man, the devil really knows if he wants to get young boys and he wants to get them and afflict them. Just show them the glitter of the kingdom of this world. And they are a pushover. They'll give anything to have a new Corvette, you know, to have a new airplane, you know, to have anything you want. They'll give anything, anything, anything to have what the world has to give them. And it's only going to be here for just a little while and then it's over. So the devil is really good and he really knocks a lot of young men off their props and he takes them to the cleaners because of this right here. Wow. What does the next verse, what number 10 say?
Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.
Now that's something we need to all learn to do, right?
Get thee hence, Satan.
Yeah, amen. Carry a big whip. A big whip. Wow. But see, you have been given dominion and power, and under this new covenant that we have been given all power and all authority that if we speak the name of Jesus as sons and daughters of God, the devil cannot touch us. Scripture in 1 John 5:18 clearly says, my true children do not sin. In other words, those that really know Jesus, those of you in here today that really know Jesus, you don't go out and practice sinning. You go out and practice walking in obedience to God's word. If you make a mistake, all you got to do is say, Lord, I messed up. I'm sorry. I repent. And he'll forgive you right there. It's done in a heartbeat. But he says, my true children do not sin. They keep themselves from evil, and therefore the evil one cannot touch you. So that doesn't mean he won't come and try. You know, so you got to be ready. He's going to try. He's going to test you every way in the world that he possibly can. He has ways to test you beyond what you even know. So you got to really be careful. That beast is a sly beast, and he's really good at what he does. Really good. So remember, know the word, stand on the word. Whenever the devil comes to test you, do exactly what Jesus did. Satan, get out of my face. Go away and leave me alone. And when you pass your test, then the Lord will do the same thing for you he did for Jesus. Next verse, he sent angels to help him, to take care of him, so that he'll do the same thing for you. Okay, 17? Okay, let's go to 17.
From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Yeah, that's it. I realized I wanted to get that one for sure. Because last week we talked about John the Baptist. That's all he had to say was repent. But in verse 17 here in Matthew 4, that's what Jesus said. So if John's telling us to repent and Jesus is telling us to repent, what do you think he wants us to do? That's it. He wants us to repent. So, Father, we thank you and praise you for this beautiful day, and we thank you for your word. We thank you that we are your sons and daughters, and we thank you that you're the mighty God, the Father, and Jesus. We're so grateful, Lord, and we thank you and praise you for doing great things. And as we go this week, may you use us mightily to do great things beyond our wildest dreams, of bless people and pray for the sick and pray for those that need to be healed. And Lord, I thank you for all these wonderful testimonies that you've given us, to think that we have such wonderful testimonies every Sunday. And you're so great, Lord, to do it. So we're going to be looking forward to even something bigger and better next Sunday. Lord, thank you for blessing your people. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.